God collapses those walls of water, ending the destruction of the people that they would have received from that army. The children of Israel travel into the wilderness. They go down to the base of Mount Sinai in the wilderness there. They spend a good bit of time there, about a year. Moses travels up onto the mountain. He receives the Ten Commandments from God. At this point, it's been about a year and a half since they've left Egypt. And it's time to receive the promise. The promise of the land of Canaan. We learn in Deuteronomy chapter 1 that the people ask Moses, can we send some spies? Can we send some men in to scout out the land? To plot a course as we receive this land that God has promised us. And God agrees. In Numbers chapter 13 is where we have God giving Moses the order, the command to send those men. Numbers chapter 13. There we learn something about these men in the first three verses of Numbers chapter 13. He says, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. The spies that got sent out by the children of Israel, these 12 men, they weren't just your average Joe. They weren't just some random guy that got chosen, hey, you go be one of the spies. The spies were leaders. They were really like the cream of the crop. They were men that each tribe would have noticed, would have recognized his authority, his leadership skills. His opinion would have mattered to each tribe. And so they send these men out to see what God has promised. To scout this land. And something we're going to learn very quickly tonight. A point that we are going to learn from these men is that in our lives, as Christians, it doesn't matter who we've got around us. It doesn't matter who the leaders are, or who our preacher is, or who our teachers are, or who our parents are. We can't just take what someone else says and apply it to our lives. We have to study God's Word for ourselves. We can't just take what someone else gives us and follow along. We have to be accountable for the things that we do, the way that we act. Someone else isn't going to answer for us. We're going to answer for ourselves. And so the spies go out. And they spend 40 days scouting the land. And they come back and they give their report. And we have it recorded for us. And we might ask ourselves, did the report they give, is it fair? Was it fair to what they saw? Was it honest? Was it truthful? Numbers chapter 13, verses 17 and 18, there Moses talking to them. It says, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. And so Moses gives them instructions as to what they're to look for. What he wants them to see. The report that he wants back. Skipping down a few verses there in Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 and 28, they've returned, and this is the report. It says, they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. I tell Moses, you know, it's just as God told us it would be. This land flows with milk and honey. It has an abundance of resources for us. We probably all remember as children studying about the spies. Probably colored a drawing of two men walking, a stick between their shoulders with a cluster of grapes hanging between it, so that they could both bear the weight. That was the land that the spies saw. But that wasn't all that they saw. That wasn't the only thing that caught their eyes. The abundance was great. And they were excited about it. But there were cities there with large walls. There were people there. See, what we see is that the spies began to exaggerate the truth. They got scared. Verse 33 there of Numbers chapter 13 says, this is the scouts talking, the spies. It says, we saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. We looked the same to them. There were people there in that land that were giants. We have reports or records, I should say, from Genesis pre-flood of these people. These people that grew to 11 and 12 and 14 and 15 feet tall. This is the only instance that we have of post-flood of those people being mentioned. But these people were there. At least the spies said they were. And what we see from this example is that they begin to get scared. They begin to lose focus. They begin to worry about what will come, what will happen. See, they probably weren't like grasshoppers. They weren't that much bigger. But even if they were, even if they had been, nothing is impossible with God. You've been sent on this mission by God to receive the promise that He has made to you. What about us, though? How can we relate to these people? Do we faithfully believe that we can do things that God has asked us to do? Or do we think that those things are too hard or even impossible? Some of us have talents that we don't use. Some of us have abilities that we don't use, that we don't take advantage of. God has given us resources and things that we can do, and we let them go to waste because we worry about adversity. We worry about what may happen. What about the spies, though? What would they say? Would they say that they gave a fair report? I'm sure that they would. They probably would have argued and said, you know, we gave an honest and fair report of what we saw. But as we stand back and look, what we really see is that the negativity that they have, that they show, really shows a lack of faith. A lack of faith in the promise that God had made to them. The promise that He would give them that land. God has said He will care for us. God has made promises to us. Yet we let things get in the way as well. We let adversity and obstacles get in our way. Challenges and difficulties we face in life, we let get in the way of our faith. So many times in life we concern ourselves with what's going on personally. We lose focus of the big picture. We lose track of what's really important in life. We also use this to make excuses or to dismiss God's will. You know, so many times in life, when it comes to spiritual things, we don't choose what is important to God or what God wills for us to do. We choose what's important to us. Say, you know, I know that the Bible says that I should do this, but I'd really rather do it this way. I know that this is important to God, but surely He would understand how important this is to me, or how important this is to my kids. I know He really wants me to be at church. Surely He'll understand this one time. Are we like the spies? See, the spies forgot God. They got out there by themselves and they saw those giants. They saw those great cities with those large walls and thought, there's no way. It isn't possible. At least 10 of them did. 2 didn't. Numbers chapter 13, verses 30 and 31, it says, Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Those 10 spies started influencing everyone else. Even though God had led them out of slavery. Even though He had led them across the Red Sea with that army coming. They forgot. And we can do the same. Sometimes we forget. What would God say about their report? He said it was bad. The kind of attitude that they were showing wasn't pleasing to God. Numbers chapter 13, verse 32 says, And they spread among the Israelites, a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. And so they start influencing all of the children of Israel. And it doesn't please God. Because spiritual negativity is really nothing more than unbelief. That's the way God views it. It's the way God viewed it here. You can be negative about the things that I've promised you, but really what that shows me and it shows others is that you don't believe. You don't believe in that promise. You don't believe in the promise that I've made to you. The spies forgot God. How quickly do we forget? How quickly do we forget God every day? In our daily lives, how quickly do we forget? Now sure, we remember when we're sick. We remember when we're going to have surgery or when we have some illness. We remember to pray and to ask God to be with us when we need Him. But when we regain that help, when we overcome that adversity, we forget. We go on vacation and we don't worry about finding a church there, making sure there's somewhere for us to worship. We leave God at home. Or maybe when we're financially burdened, we remember then. We ask God to help us so we can provide for our families, so that we can support them. But we forget when we're blessed to give back, to do the things that He's commanded us to do. See, all the time we remember to ask for the things that we want, but we never take into effect or take into account what God wants from us. We too have a responsibility. As we see, as the spies talk to the people, they all start blaming God. They all too forget God and begin blaming Him. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 says, "That night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?'" They're saying, "Why are we even here? Why would God do this to us?" They are forgetting God, but they're blaming God for forgetting them. And we can do the same. You see, they counted the battle as a loss before it had ever even been fought. They thought that there was no way for them to overcome, even with God on their side. And we do the same. We forget. We turn away. We make excuses when we face something that we don't really want to deal with. You know, I've never really taught a class, and I'm pretty sure that it would go bad. It wouldn't go well, and I don't think they would listen to me. And I don't think I'll do it. I just don't think I will. I know that I would mess it up, and so to keep from doing that, I just won't teach at all. Or I won't talk to someone else about God. I believe and you believe. And there may be some differences in what we believe, but you know, maybe we're just taking different paths, and we'll all get there. I don't want to have an awkward conversation, and so I'll just leave it alone. We have responsibilities. We have talents. We need to use them. We should never blame God because of our lack of doing something. The people we see as the spies talked to them, they just followed along. They just went right along with them. Verses 28 and 29 of Numbers chapter 14 says, "So tell them," this is God speaking, "so tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In this wilderness your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me." God says, fine. I heard what you said. I heard that we couldn't do it. So I won't let you. I won't let you. And what we see is that all were accountable for their actions. The leaders, the spies, they weren't the only ones that were accountable, and neither are we. Our elders here aren't the only ones that are accountable. We too are accountable for our own actions. Some people want to dismiss their responsibility and place it on someone else. You know, you might say, you know, I give on Sundays. That's what I'm commanded to do. I'm commanded to give, and I do that. I don't know what the elders spend that money on, what they use it towards, and really, I'm not worried about it. That's their responsibility. That's not mine. Or I'm here on Sunday, and I'm here on Wednesday. Preacher gets up there and says something that he shouldn't, that's on him. Those Bible class teachers, if they say stuff that they shouldn't, if they teach something that's in error, that's on them. I'm here. I've checked off my attendance box. The example that we have, the two men whose name we can remember, are the ones that followed God. They're the ones that were obedient. Numbers chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of those who were 20 years old or more when they came up out of Egypt will see the land I promised on the oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. For they followed the Lord wholeheartedly." And also in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, it says, "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." They will inherit it, the promise. We know that Joshua led the children of Israel as they conquered that land because they were faithful. Psalm chapter 19, verses 19, or verses 9 and 11, says, "The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." There is great reward for being faithful to God. There was great reward for Joshua and Caleb, and there will be great reward for us as well. We can learn from their examples. From the examples that were given. They were given for our learning. And we can learn that we will be rewarded by being faithful to God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7 It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. Skipping down there to verses 10 and 11, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The spies went out. 10 weren't faithful. 10 forgot God. But 2. 2 remembered the promise that God had made for them, had made for their people. And they were faithful to God. We remember those 2, and we want to be like them. We want to use the example that they've given. If you're here this evening and you are not a Christian, you wish to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can have a hope of heaven, we would invite you. If you're here and you are a Christian and you have sin in your life that you need to make public correction of, if there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we